When a poem really appeals to you, I mean, when you are even as a casual follower of poetry, if you find one that you really love, well, of course, there are a number of reasons for that. And contextually, it often is that we are, there's some sense of joy that we're celebrating, or there's some loss that we're dealing with, and the poem may help us with the grief. And a poem can help us remember things. A poem can do all sorts of things for us that would make us love that poem or feel the love of another human being more deeply. Poem or a song, of course. But what I find is that there are three things, and I've talked about this on this podcast before. The title of this one today is Three Reasons to Love a Poem. And I believe that it has to do with these, over and above all the reasons that we fall in love with poems, of course, remembering, being inspired, all the things I was just talking about. The characteristics, though, up underneath that, having worked with a whole lot of people over a lot of years, are that poems that are short, shorter poems are more likely to be good poems. That's just math. So poems that are characteristically, that have the characteristics of being short, more brief, poems that are very satisfying, and that relates to why we love the poem. You know, it helps us with loss. It helps us feel deeper levels of connection and emotion and love, and it helps us celebrate the things that we were just talking about. So it's satisfying on some, you know, deep level oftentimes, or it just makes us laugh sometimes. That can be satisfying. So it's short, it's satisfying. And then the third that I talk about a lot, we want to focus on today, is it's surprising. There's some kind of surprise that really helps us see the world fresh again, helps us not take the world for granted, not take ourselves for granted, or other people that we care about, that we love, and who are friends of ours. So that surprise can be very wonderful, and it can make us fall in love with a poem. Now, what had me thinking about all this is that I was digging through some old files the other day, and I found one with poems in it, and the little label on the file says, Poems I Love Now. Poems I Love Now. Now, what's misleading about that is that very word now. And the reason I say that is because not only did I love those poems, say 15, 20 years ago when I first created that file, but I still love those poems. And today I hope to show you why in a few cases, because what I did is I pulled a few of those poems out, and it reacquainted me with these things that I love about the poem and these poems. And of course, what did they have in common? They were short, they were surprising, and they were highly satisfying. Here's the first one, and you be the judge. It's by a poet by the name of W.S. Merwin, famous poet who we just lost about 4 or 5 years ago, lived in Hawaii for many, many years. And he wrote a very short little poem, there's our first criteria, called Another Year Come. Another Year Come by W.S. Merwin. He said it like this. I have nothing new to ask of you. He's talking to the new year. I have nothing new to ask of you. Future, heaven of the poor, heaven of the poor. I'm still wearing the same things. I'm still wearing the same things. I'm still begging the same question by the same light, eating the same stone. And the hands of the clock still knock without entering. And the hands of the clock still knock without entering. Now, I put that poem in that file of poems loved now and realize how much I still love that particular poem and a number of those poems in that file. And I'll share a few more with you. But in particular, is it short? Of course it is. Very short poem, brief. Is it satisfying for me? Very satisfying. Because the surprise in this poem, particularly in that last line, that's often where the most delicious of the surprises in a particular poem come, in that last line. In this one, he says, "And the hands of the clock still knock without entering." And the hands of the clock still knock without entering. Think about that. Feel about that for a moment. Time keeps knocking. It keeps knocking. And one day it will come in. One day it will come in. And time will be, in this case, W.S. Merwin passed from this plane anyway about 5 years ago. So the end of our lives, knowing that that is there, that is coming, can allow us to be even more grateful on a daily basis. And to be gently reminded of that is a good thing. That little of surprise. And the hands of the clock still knock without entering. And of course, one day they will enter. So let's keep cooking. Another one of the favorite poems that I had in that file was one by Rilke, the great German poet Rilke. And this particular translation, it's done by the amazing Robert Bly. And the poem is called "I Live My Life." I live my life. And it goes like this. Very famous poem by Rilke. I live my life in growing orbits. I live my life in growing orbits, which move out over the things of the world, which move out over the things of the world. Perhaps I can never achieve the last, but that will be my attempt. I am circling around God. I am circling around God, around the ancient tower, around the ancient tower. And I have been circling for 1,000 years, and I still don't know if I am a falcon or a storm or a great song. I am circling around God, around the ancient tower, and I have been circling for 1,000 years, and I still don't know. And I still don't know if I am a falcon or a storm or a great song. Very brief poem. For me, those images are so satisfying, so incredibly satisfying. And those last images, the falcon, the storm, the song, a great song, they're so deliciously surprising. It fits all the criteria for a poem that we might love. And again, you know, what I'm saying here is that, you know, of course, my criteria are subjective, short, satisfying, surprising. But I can say that if you test this out, I'd be curious, you know, send me a note, put it in the comments. You know, long poems can be wonderful. I mean, there's some long poems that I absolutely love. Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman. But what I find is that I actually end up quoting portions, brief portions of even long poems, like some of the poems that T.S. Eliot wrote and others who wrote long poems. I often zero in on shorter pieces of those poems and the ones that are very satisfying and are surprising. Okay. Let's keep cooking. This poem is by a poet named Ann Iverson, and it sat there in that file. It's been sitting there for 20 years. And guess what? I still love this poem. Sometimes If She Enters is the title of the poem, and it actually begins the sort of the logic of the poem. Sometimes if she enters, and it goes, sometimes if she enters the parameter of fear as a doe at dusk crossing the ragged border of birch and swamp into the human clearing, into the human clearing, where instead she finds slices of apple or banana and a woman in a window softly cooing a made-up name, quietly planning a different life, quietly planning a different life, looking eye to eye, looking eye to eye. The invincibility of what lurks beyond and calls and never disappoints. If only she could cross the border. And she has. If only she could cross the border. And she has. Well, that poem to me is so satisfying because there's this just brief image, and you get the scene with this woman who is falling in love with this doe, this at dusk, and who has left treats, and who is looking eye to eye with this doe. And you know, even if certain scenes or images in that poem slip past you, you know, as you're reading it or hearing it, doesn't matter, because the general image is so wonderful and surprising, and so just takes the heart, you know, and just goes, ah, gives us that sense of that looking in to the other, in this case, this deer, this doe, and never disappoints. If only she could cross the border. And then the surprise at the end of this poem is answered, and she has. If only, and then, and she has. Wonderful poem by Ann Iverson. And I think it is, as we say, short, satisfying, and very surprising. Okay, so we've come to the last poem that I want to talk about today. And again, remember this theme. One of the reasons that I talk about all the reasons that we love poetry is that to remind us, for me, it's to remind myself and to help others, hopefully, that poems can be sources of remembering. Poems can be sources of inspiration, of course. Poems can be sources of joy and celebration and praise. And poems can, of course, be sources of wonder and awe and of helping us heal from loss. They can help us grieve. All those things that poems can do. And my point that I've, you know, we've made this before on the podcast, but today, zeroing in on this idea of these characteristics of being shorter, a briefer poem, being very satisfying in some particular way that we've just talked about, all the different ways that poems can be satisfying. But if they are, we will tend to love them. And also, they almost always have some kind of little wonderful shock of surprise that brings us back to ourselves, that reconnects us with ourselves, that reconnects us with those we love, that reconnects us with what we call the natural world. And we've talked a lot about all the challenges we have with the natural world and all the ecological things. So poetry can help us fall in love with the wild again, which is going to be so important. So this last particular poem, I say poems I love. Now, this is the exception. This poem was not in that file. So I'm making an exception here. I'm also making an exception because I actually wrote this poem, and it was in this in the last year. So it's a fairly recent poem, but I wanted to include it because I think it has something to do with this criteria that we're talking about being short, satisfying, and surprising. It was surprising for me, and I wrote it. Remember, what we say often is that Ezra Pound said, if the poet is not surprised in writing the poem, then the reader will not be surprised either. This is that idea that even in writing our own poems, if we're not surprised by what comes through, often it means the poem is not going to be as memorable for us or ultimately loved by ourselves and others. This is a poem that I wrote about the experience of my younger sister who died a number of years ago, and being with her in her days of hospice. And I called the poem Her Last Days. Her Last Days. A sister's last days of sifting. A sister's last days of sifting and of such searing pain and dreaming and then having to let it all go. Even the pain. A sister's last days of sifting. One thinks of sifting through our lives as we come close to moving beyond this plane. A sister's last days of sifting and of such searing pain and dreaming, then having to let it all go, even the pain. If you've spent time in someone in a hospice situation, then you know something of the searing pain often that is part of that experience. I guess I was my faux pas there was held hostage, I think, is I was somewhere between hospice and hostage. And interesting slip of the tongue. So a sister's last days of sifting and of such searing pain and dreaming, then having to let it all go, even the pain. All along, the poem goes on, all along, an abundance of friends, their deep homage, an uncomplicating of everything. In the final days, more and more dreaming, an unfathomable distance, so near. In the final days, more and more dreaming, an unfathomable distance, so near. Do you know the way a car departs in winter's gray steel fog? Memories clinging, the faded horizons, eyes straining hard, and then finally, released, opened, ever more wider to see. So that period in my sister's life, the last weeks of her life, incredibly intense, was amazing to see how many friends came, and in the poem I say, paying homage, and their deep homage is the line in the poem, or the words, and that's what I saw. And I saw how many people that my sister had touched, how many lives she had touched, and the love she had given and the love that was coming back to her. And it was uncomplicating everything, as I said in the poem, because it was just the relationship, just the love, just the caring. And in the final days, of course, as my sister had to take more drugs, to work with the pain, then there was more dreaming, more periods when she was in that state. And so that's what I was referring to there. And then, of course, the last stanza talks about when somebody actually departs and trying to strain and see their lives as fully and as completely as possible. Her last days, a sister's last days of sifting and of such searing pain and dreaming, then having to let it all go, even the pain. All along, an abundance of friends, their deep homage, an uncomplicating of everything. In the final days, more and more dreaming, an unfathomable distance, so near. Do you know the way a car departs in winter's gray steel fog? Memories clinging, the faded horizons, eyes straining hard, and then finally released, opened, ever more wider to see. And those of us who loved her and those of us here on this side really did open our eyes wider and wider to see her parting, to see her life, to see what her life was and what it stood for in so many wonderful ways. That's all came through. And the surprise is that I had experienced these things, and this poem came through months and months and months after her actual passing. But oftentimes it takes that much time, you know, for us to cohere, for us to then try to understand what is happening, not with our minds and our hearts coming together as I felt they did in this poem. I felt they did. So, three reasons to love a poem now and forever, as we've been talking about. All the wonderful reasons we listen to poems and we write poems and we read poems. All the reasons, from inspiration to remembering to grieving to celebrating to all the different ways. It can take us right to the edge of ourselves, right to the edge of our own knowing, our own joy, our own grief, our own longing and aspiration. And it can help reveal the world to us and help us fall back in love with ourselves, with others, and with the great other, sometimes called the natural world or Mother Nature. I hope you find a lot of poems that are short, satisfying, and surprising. Thank you so much for your listening ear. I really appreciate it. If you want, leave a comment, like the podcast, depending on where you are listening to it or seeing it, if on YouTube, refer it to a friend. All that is great. Anyone you think that might appreciate this approach to again, thanks so much. Take good care of yourself. Until next time and next poems, please, please, again, take good care of yourself. And if you can, take good care of someone else.